some ways, they made their most ambitious record yet. And ambition is not synonymous with record sales. You know, I mean, this is a masterful, dense, artistic statement. It could bomb.
I need more piano.
Less noise.
Less noise.
Yeah, I can take less noise.
It's my father's voice turned up. I feel the same off in the morning. Air conditioning, top of the stairs. It's just been broken and the bandage is wrapped too tight. Things have been cold, and I really want to see tonight.
No, I'm sorry.
Aquarium drinker, I assassin down the avenue. I'm hiding out in the big city blinking. What was I thinking when I let go of you? Let's forget about the tongue-tied lightning. Let's undress just like cross-eyed strangers. This is not a joke, so please stop smiling. What was I thinking when I said it didn't hurt? Crawl through those brown eyes dreaming. Take you from the inside. Baby, hold on tight. Well, you were so right when you said I've been drinking. What was I thinking when we said goodnight? I am trying to break your heart. I am trying to break your heart. Still, I would be lying if I said it wasn't easy. I am trying to break your heart.
What are you doing?
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to our movie. We're going to be seeing lots of film about Wilco today.
I gotta say, we're pretty lucky that I think Wilco is in a position where they can make the record they want to make. I mean, there is definitely, I don't know if I'd call it pressure, but there's definitely a feeling that this is sort of the moment.
They are very funny guys.
Give them a cigarette.
Oh, yeah, I got one. I need a piece of gum.
I think, and of course hope, that this record is going to be a pretty big priority for Warner when it comes out. And you don't get that every time you put a record out.
So, anyway, I was touring on the road with Vico.
Oh, here's your gum bag.
Machine is blue and green, 420 and a small service fee. $3.63 on Diet Coca-Cola.
Two kinds of potential. There's artistic potential, which I think for them is unlimited, and there is commercial potential, which is really quite mysterious to us because there are so many factors that are out of your control, and we try not to think about it too much and just try, you know, try to make a great record and hope and push the label to make the right decisions and do the right things promotion-wise and so on.
This is an interactive band. These are four or five people, you know, who make music together. And the music wouldn't sound the way it does unless these five people are together in the room at the same time making the music.
It's a constant process. I mean, we make records and they're like, that ends up being a thing, you know, that you're making, and you have a million options as to what that thing can be and what shape it can be. You generally go for a pretty straight, definitive version of what the song sounds like it should be, and then deconstruct it a little bit and see if there's some more exciting way to approach it. Destroy it. We made it, so it's ours to destroy, and that's liberating and exciting and in a really creative way. Closest to pure collaboration Wilco has ever gotten.
And personally, I'm really happy because Jeff and I have done a lot of this stuff together. This is the first time that Jeff and I made a conscious effort to, like, get together at the loft and write songs.
Not that things don't happen spontaneously with the Wilco recordings, but there is a lot of conferring with each other, a lot of deliberation, a lot of, like Jeff was talking, destroying what we've done, trying it from the back door, turning it upside down.
I'm
it's the first record where we've really done everything ourselves. You know, we're engineering it ourselves, and we're doing it in our space. We're doing two, like, seemingly contradictory things. We're making a record in a very relaxed environment with no outside input, but at the same time, we're accepting a certain kind of pressure that we're putting on ourselves.
It's nice not to have a producer for Wilco, because we're all, any one of us, perfectly capable of directing or shaping a musical moment.
Everything is just kind of set up, I mean, to just keep making records.
I know it's cool to bitch about your record label, you know, but I mean, they're letting us make a record in our loft, and they haven't heard a word of it. They're giving us $85,000 and they haven't heard a word of it. You know, that's trust, right? They trust us.
You're always playing the you're pretty much doing 1-5-6-4 on all the...
A lot of times when you're playing, if you don't have any, like, sonic landscape behind you, everything turns into a folk song.
That's pretty much what you do, right?
We just wanted it to not sound like a little folk ditty, you know? So we wanted to have just like some kind of sonic weight under all of that, and just something kind of weird and fucked up.
From the A string to a B flat, and it
makes no difference.
And then you put them together, and they'll get some, like, really magical moments. We thought that might be rhythmic enough to play too.
It's kind of along with some of the more noise tracks, but it's rhythmic, so it's something that they can play along to.
It's about 3 a.m. We were either going to get something great or lose our fucking minds. All these things are just blaring in here, you know? That's when it all kind of, like, exploded.
It cried out over sea.
Outside.
Latina. Vamos a hacer una cosa con Jeff Tweedy, que toca el rock and roll. One, two, three, one, two, three. Con el rock and... So, with the community that you are doing now, do you play music? Porque do you think that your music reaches out to the children who don't have a fighting chance?
It's not even that as nice as you. It's the last time someone whispered a kiss.
I'll sign that.
If you know how to spell Simone.
S-I-M-O-N-E.
That sounds like it, right, yeah.
Real pal. Your record, I have an idea. Does it come out on compact disc?
Dream about killing you again last night. It felt alright to me. And on the banks of Embarcadero skies, sat and watched you bleed.
Seriously, let's just do a lot of good crowd control tonight and, you know, bring up the whole political thing. Just fuck that. Mm-hmm. The whole thing about women's rights, lesbians' rights, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to play to it. I'm going to play to the crowd.
Cool.
There's,
Because, you know, I mean, the Dow is down about 30%, you know. And as soon as I looked at that, I just knew, that, you know, what kind of position you're in and stuff. And
I've got to kiss some major ass to, you know, to get it. Get things, my portfolio back together.
Totally.
I
hear you, man. Totally.
I canned my stockbroker.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago.
How's the place out in Hampton? Is it good?
Well, it's a fixer upper. I mean, the pool is shit.
Yeah. Spielberg told me, he was like, I went over to Jeff's, and you know, because he knows that your fucking music is a big bullshit thing. Right. And he was just like, I saw his fucking pool, and we, you know, and yeah. He was just, he's funny, you know, he reminds me a lot of you.
You are stupid.
It seemed like a good time to do it. We haven't really toured for a while. The record's still being made. And take a little break from the record, go play some music, and see how things go.
The windows painted blue. treasure. Rumor to be
Jeff, you remember Scott from Marine?
Yeah,
great job, man.
Okay.
Great job.
Okay.
No, my friend Sarah?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, nice.
See.
Nice to meet you. How are we?
Hey.
Jeff.
Thank you.
That's great.
You know, we have Mitch.
Mitch. All right.
Mitch.
Oh, we have folks in.
Foyt, best record store.
All right, right.
Santa Rosa, California.
Pushing local all the way.
All right.
If I had a boat, I'd probably.
Hey, is the new record more like, is it going to be more like AM, or is it going to be more like Summer Teen?
It's really not that much like either one of those records, I don't think.
Surely there's somebody
trip-hop album or something, where tape loops and samples and...
There are those things, but it's not like a trip-hop record.
Tricky.
I am so lonely.
Yeah.
I'm
so
lonely.
I'm happy with it, and we're almost done with it, so just have to wait another month or so, probably another 2 months.
And you guys going to tour on that straight away, then? Yeah?
Maybe. I don't know. Well, hopefully it'll come out in July. It's got a lot of the drums and holes in the songs in it.
So you're like, is Courtney Love in there?
No.
No.
Sorry.
Rather big open spaces between what's supposed to be like the music part. I don't know. I'm gone.
Religion. Music is my savior. To the look in your eyes, when I've always been distant and I've always told lies for love. I know the
this isn't what you want me to say. How can I be closer and get further away from the truth that proves it's beautiful to lie? Got reservations about so many things, but not about you.
And then maybe.
Yeah.
It's always single. We know
the first
track.
Time where he goes, I got a reservation.
Yeah. Yeah, the first one is the double one.
Okay. What's that? I guess next 4 or 5 days. Yeah, we're mixing. I'm not at the loft. I'm at the studio. Tony's here. All right. Well, I'll call you later. Pajama day?
This is the record that needs to take the band to another level. If that didn't happen, it would be a tragic sort of missed opportunity, and that it would damage the band.
I think every record I've ever made, somebody has said, this is the big one. You guys are going to be huge. And when I saw the reality of the situation, I felt a little dumb for believing it.
Well, we do have a new A&R guy, Neo, who's really, like, younger and cooler than our last guy. So who knows? You know, maybe he'll come in and say something really cool, you know? Maybe he'll be great.
Do you want to hear the new one again?
Can you guys tell me what it is about the drum sounds on this that's not happening? You said you can't get a good snare sound?
You can't brighten them up.
I think that's what's kind of cool about it. They're murky sounding.
This,
you know,
is all you can get out of them.
I think it's great.
If the overall song feels good to you, you're going to fall in love with the little parts of it that are fucked up. To sum up what I'm thinking, you can't change one piece of the puzzle.
Right. I don't think well-defined, bright drums with presence and definition would serve the feel of that song.
You know, it's a $150 an hour argument, but that's okay.
Whatever they lack, I'd say are actually a virtue in this cut.
If we go with this new one, there is more redoing than Jeff thought before he left, for instance. What is coming up right now is exactly what came up when I first started talking to Jeff about it, which was, I think this does create a domino effect.
Did anyone have any problem with this song until last night when you started to try to EQ
the
snare?
Yes, always. Always since day one.
Maybe we should mix stuff that we know is done.
There is no fucking pressure, man. This is day two in the studio for this record. Three, okay.
There's still no pressure. I just know if we mix both of these, we're going to go neither one's it. I just know it.
I think it'd be great if we just mixed and leave all tracking for the loft. Honestly.
Jeff's on his way down.
Oh, his alert the media. What was he alerted to the situation?
No, he just called for status report.
Oh, and you said status not good.
We had a little bit of a work stoppage, a grinding, you know, a grinding to a halt. Like, well, hold on, what exactly is the dynamic? How are we supposed to do this? We were like really readjusting to how things are going to work when we're in a different environment from our luxurious little dream world. We're spending $1,000 a day to be here. Anytime we get stumped from here on out, we should just move on.
That's what we're deciding. Yeah. That's what we've all kind of decided that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to mix them both. At the same time, I don't want to get too hung up on this. It's an important decision. Oops, we happened to make it the day we were here. Or not make it. You know, whatever, let's move on. You know, we spent $1,000 in stupider ways in this band. Like all that blow in Amsterdam, that was...
Well, I must have missed out on that.
There's more pressure on Jeff, you know, externally and self-imposed. I think he is aware that the success or failure, artistically primarily, of a record reflects mostly on him.
Why not do it now?
Because we got to go offline, unmute everything to find out what track that thing's on.
Can't you just look and see what track it comes up on?
Yeah, but I don't know if it's just one track or two,
okay,
or what part of the kit it is.
How would we do it? How would we overlap it, mixing it separately?
Just say the orchestra at the top of Heavy Metal Drummer is there.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have to be a mastering thing.
Well, no, because the orchestra is... in Heavy Metal Drummer, and the top of Heavy Metal Drummer.
But, okay. That seems backwards to me. Why not mix it up to the cut point instead of trying to mix the other one from a new starting point? Why not mix it to the edit? You know what I mean? Instead of, like, making a new edit for the new for when we mix Heavy Metal Drummer.
All right, I guess to me it's the exact it's the exact same thing. You mix one up to here, or you start the other mix here. Mix, start. Dun dun
da da dun dun ga ga. Right there.
All right. I didn't know that you wanted it to sound exactly like it does here. I thought you wanted it to be the noise going over whatever was really on Heavy Metal Drummer there. See what I'm saying?
I don't want the orchestra to go into Heavy Metal Drummer. It cuts right there.
Right. And Okay, let me try to explain myself. I didn't know...
This is taking a lot longer than doing one mute.
I know, but can I explain myself, please? I didn't know until now that you wanted it to start with a little kit. Big kit.
Well, we can do it both ways.
I don't give a shit. You misunderstood what I was saying. I assumed, apparently wrong, that it was noise until Heavy Metal Drummer started. But now I understand that it's orchestra until a subset of Heavy Metal Drummer starts, then two measures later, Heavy Metal Drummer really starts. Right?
Sure.
Okay, I didn't know that. I thought we were just saying, hey, that would be cool if the noise went right up to Heavy Metal Drummer. Does that make sense?
Well, whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the problem is. I don't.
I just want you to understand me. Like, understand why I was thinking.
Why is it so important? I don't have to understand you all the time. Like, it's okay. I don't, like, we found it, and we can do it.
Okay, it seems to me like you're making a big deal out of... Not wanting to.
Okay. I've just been sitting here trying.
I'm just saying.
I'm listening to you explain yourself.
And do you understand it?
Sure. I understand it.
Okay, why couldn't you just say I understand what you're saying?
I did. Sure. And
so it's going to be a drum group.
She said it's always a wise thing that I understand your song.
Well, yeah. Because it doesn't seem like you were going to
change
something.
That's okay.
It's not like
you
want
it to sound
slightly different. I mean, I thought that was an idea.
It's the way I want to understand.
next payday. I'll tell it to you for the next payday. I've got no sugar, baby, now. I've got all I can say, and I've got all I can do. I can't get along with you.
Is the medication?
No, I just throw up all the time when I have migraines. When I was a kid, I threw up. I used to throw up like 30 times in a night and get put in the hospital for dehydration. That feels better.
You're right. It's 6 of 1, half dozen of the other.
Damn.
I'm sorry.
I guess I wasn't explaining myself, but see, we have to now. We have to do all our outro mutes on everything else.
Why?
Because we
cut it.
Well, because we have a bunch of other things open. Still.
It just cuts right there.
No, but up to there.
Oh,
I mean,
right.
Up to there.
Well, that's we would have to do that anyway.
Yeah, some of that we would have, yeah. But I was just thinking it'd be, we'd just start heavy metal drummer that way, was what I was thinking, you know. I'm cool, I'm totally cool, all right, it's over.
Right now, Reprise Records is in the pretty serious state of flux, which I'm a bit nervous about. You know, I mean, I'm not worried about the record not coming out. The record will come out, but you don't know whether we're going to be getting the same sort of enthusiasm out of whoever the replacement person is.
Right.
It's just mystery.
If we do, let's see.
What about Must Be High or Casio Queen?
Nah.
I'm just thinking in terms of rockers, man.
Yeah.
If we got easy rockers, we should probably...
Should I write any of those three? Passenger Side
really Rocker.
What did you say?
No, I don't want to just fall back on a bunch of easy rockers.
No, I'm just thinking for with 4 days of practice and 4 shows.
I'm worried.
this record ended up being finished, it actually felt fresher to me than it had felt for months after we did a bulk of the recording in a, you know, over a year or so, and somewhere towards the end of that year, it got to be kind of nitpicking and going back and like retracking songs and knowing exactly what we were going for, less exploratory, and that was starting to get kind of rough. Like by the time we went to CRC to mix,
we got bogged down in certain things, like redoing drums, you know, certain calls that were good that helped us later on, but for whatever reason it just bogged down.
Doing the record, the final mixes at Soma, and hearing them through Jim O'Rourke's ears, actually hearing it with someone who was coming at it with some fresh perspective, and being able to collaborate on the final mixes, kind of like, well, we're kind of throwing everything out the window, but we're also kind of getting back to what the original thing was.
When I went to Jim with completely fresh ears, he heard him a little differently, and right away, as soon as we heard how he was mixing, like Trying to Break Your Heart, that's the first thing he mixed, then it was like, oh, that's why really
bands
works.
That's why bands don't mix records.
I mean, definitely it was like the final stage of collaboration, like mixing the record is, that's what I always felt like mixing should be, like it should be the last stage of inspiration.
I think we tried to make it powerful, like with two guitars.
Can you beef up your tone a little then or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's so steady now.
Yeah. No, I thought it was going great, man. Thought it felt great.
No, I mean, we can try the two guitars again if it feels too weak. I just think that we tried the two, I think the two guitar thing was like, it might be obsolete, you know?
I'm not sure what that means, but I'll try. That felt great to me, that's all.
No,
I just felt fucking rocking, you know? That's all.
Jesus, don't cry.
Officially delivered the record and sent them the final mixes of the record.
I must have had 50, 60 definite possibilities for magazine features, let alone television appearances, which were starting to, offers were coming in. And I just thought, like, boy, this is going to be so great. You know, it's all set. This I think the press has always loved Wilco, but now we're going to take it even to another level.
When we delivered the record, we didn't hear from them for like 2 weeks. You know, so we thought that was probably not a good thing.
I knew that I was sitting on something that was just people going to beat down the door to get. And then the advances didn't get made. So June is rolling along, and I'm going like, well, we're losing time. We're losing people to deadlines. They're not going to be able to cover this record if we don't hurry up. And then about the third week in June, I'd heard there's a problem.
Next thing I heard was that they asked us to change the record. I don't know what they wanted us to change. And Tony told me that was their response. And I told Tony that we weren't interested in changing the record.
Their A&R representative was Mio Vukovic. And what I had heard, like I said, I never talked to Wilco about the way this change happened, but what I heard from my side was that Mio had some ideas about changes to the records or additional recording or mixing or things like that, and the band had felt like, that's the record, we're finished. You know, we're not really in the mind to make changes. And it's sort of a take it or leave it. And I think it went up to Mio's boss, David Kahn, the head of A&R for Wonders and Reprise, felt like Mio was right and that changes did need to be made, And if the band wasn't interested in making them, then they should probably be on another label.
Next thing I heard was that they wanted to know if we wanted to leave.
Well, I just think we've been jerked around so many times, and that this is the ultimate jerking around. You know, like this, like, we're going to drop you shit, or whatever it is, or you can get out a deal, or either way you want to look at it, it's still majorly being jerked around, and, you know, why should I think that things are going to change?
Actually, when Tony first told me that this was a possibility, I have to be completely honest, it hurt my feelings. It's like a feeling of rejection.
It's got to be more than some sort of promise of, we love you and we're going to take care of you. Do you know what I mean? Because we've heard all that before, and I just think that the wound from this episode of making this record, delivering the record and getting basically nothing but headaches in return is pretty deep and going to be pretty tough to heal. And I'm not the only person you've got to make feel good.
We never got too specific about what exactly made them hate it.
Okay, but I just want you to, understand one thing. This is really important. Right now, I believe that the best thing for the band, the present and future of the band, is to be away from Reprise Records.
It was at a weird time in the Reprise inner circle, because Howie Klein, who had been president of Reprise for a long time, since Reprise was reactivated, he'd also been at Sire when Uncle Tupelo was on Sire, and a big fan of the band, had just left the label. In fact, I think the day that the band turned in the record, the end of June, right around then, that was his last day.
A day or two after I retired, I got a phone call from one of Wilco's many, 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 many fans at Warner Brothers, and that was the first of many phone calls I got, telling me that Wilco was dropped.
I would guess that if I was an executive at a record company, high up executive, I don't mean the people working in the trenches, but I mean the guys with, the gold-plated cell phones, if I was up there and I listened to Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, I probably wouldn't get it. Why don't I get it? Because it doesn't tell me exactly who it's for, it doesn't tell me exactly what it's about, and it doesn't tell me exactly how much it will sell.
You know what? From what I gather, I think that they didn't even think there was a single to work on.
There's pretty stuff in there. There's hard stuff in there. There's mystery in there. There's really sweet tunes. And there's, an abrasion in there as well. But it's all there. And you really have to kind of sit with it. You have to allow yourself the time to get something out of it.
There's no chance that Wilco would have ever been dropped when I was president of Reprise Records.
We're now in a culture, not just a business, but a culture in which we expect everything to happen like that. You have people outside standing around talking on cell phones. The gist of the conversation is, I'll be there in 5 minutes. Who gives a fuck? Just be there in 5 minutes. Don't talk about it. People are just so impatient. And as a result, we're looking at things in ways like, well, how much time do I have to devote to this? And it's really sad because, music, art, literature, poetry, even great technological inventions, they're not meant to be done and done with that quickly.
It was like kind of just a shock to be like slapped in the face with this calculated world of international, multinational, whatever corporation.
Yeah. ambitious artistically. It's not a VH1 behind the music story. It's not a drugs, groupies, celebrity kind of story at all. This band's story is the music. 20 years from now, they're probably going to get more of their due than they are now. I don't think they're a band that fits in with a lot of what music gets played on the radio. The appreciation for its records is going to increase as time goes on.
Making of this record, I felt like I got no support, zero. Emotional, financial, whatever. And then at some point in the process, you start asking yourself, why are we, what are they doing? We don't need the money. You know, the band could go out and play gigs and make the money to pay for the record, so they're not getting the band on the radio. You know, it's really, at this point, to me, their value is really, really questionable to us.
pizza.
Oh, got busted.
Sorry, dude.
Is it cool?
Did anybody have a pen?
Yeah.
Are we on a lining stage? John Jack?
Straight jackets in the elevator last night. Remember the guy that...
Oh my God.
From Jimmy Lester? What?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. This is the... I met Bob from Sesame Street yesterday.
Okay.
Last night.
And there's another... We've got
Bob.
Person.
Do you know who Bob... Does anybody know who Bob is?
I remember that.
How'd you meet him?
He was in our hotel.
Okay, thanks.
He's doing a kid's show right now as we speak. He's like... Yeah, I got big birds coming in tomorrow. And
there's Jay right now as we speak.
So also, although it's already been blown, but JP asked if we could sort of steer clear of the stage for a little while. Maybe.
Until
sound check is over?
Until Jay gets done.
Has Jay been here since like 6 in the morning?
Gentlemen, we have about 35 minutes to do all of this. Harvey, you want to call the order out? We're going Glenn.
Yep.
We're going to go Jay Bennett, entire keyboard world.
Yep.
Jay Bennett, electric rig. Keep him there. After Jay, we'll do Johnny real quick. Mr. Tweedy, let Leroy get his world sussed out. We're only going to have time to do about 2 songs.
Okay.
Jeff, hey.
Yeah, the delay's not working.
Don't see me now.
let's talk about Jack.
All right, I probably won't have much to say.
Okay.
Just warning you.
Okay. It's my understanding from, you know, what I heard in the grapevine that that was sort of an amicable separation, and that... and I don't know if this is true, but the hearsay is sort of that he didn't feel that he had had as much a role in the songwriting as he wanted to have, or...
I think that there's some truth to that, and I think there's an effort made for it to be amicable.
Since Jeff's solo tour and Glenn joining the band, some dynamics in the band had altered in many different ways.
I think Jay's contribution to the band over time and our collaboration was important and was valued in the band. As for the circumstances surrounding him leaving, I really think that that's up to Jay to define. And as far as my feelings about it, I couldn't be happier.
Jeff was convinced that he really needed to tell Jay directly, and he needed to be the guy to do it.
We sat down and he said, I don't think I can make music with you anymore. And I said, why? And I'm not sure I ever got an answer that made any sense.
Jay wore out his welcome in a lot of ways.
It's hard to be working with somebody that needs more than you can give him. I'm more interested in playing music with people that I can share with than give things to.
Jeff was threatened by me. It's clear. By the attention I was beginning to get. He wanted the band back. That's simple. That's a simple answer. You know, Jeff went into this big, long analogy about how a circle needs a center. You know, well, he was going to be the center, right? I wasn't going to be the center.
It's hard for me to talk about. I mean, I've known Jay for 16 years, 17 years. And our friendship had run its course.
There's a lot of power-related issues in Wilco, and people are, they don't want to lose their gig, man. And so they don't want to step outside of their little scripted role. Because if they do, this is what happens.
I think we all knew everyone would be happier in the end, and I think Jay would totally agree with that.
It did not come as a total shock to me to be asked to leave Wilco. It had been in the back of my mind. In fact, I'd talked to Leroy about this extensively, that, to quote myself, my days in Wilco are numbered. I had thought very, very seriously about leaving the band. I just happened to be beaten to the punch.
When you're Jay Bennett or whomever and you leave the band, you have to kind of start over. You're going back to playing for 35 people or 100 people or whatever from sold out theaters.
So see now, my darling, that will keep all bad dreams away. Don't grow up so fast.
they delivered a great record, and I think it's a record company that, for whatever reason, can't handle that type of great record, and so, fantastic. Let's go do something else.
I don't know how to make something other than the record we made, and I think to entertain any of their half-ass, fearful, frightened bullshit would be to compromise something that is a big part of my soul, you know, like it's a part of my heart. And I don't have any interest in doing that anymore.
I think it's a really, really, really strong record. I think it's a statement. I think it's the right record for them to make now in their career. And I think there are dozens of labels that would be ecstatic to have it. And who, if you delivered this record, would call you up and, you know, be excited about it. That's all, you know, that's what I'm tired of, is like, no enthusiasm.
Rise Roco dropped 24 hours after they deliver a record like Yankee Hotel Foxtrot. I mean, we've contemplated that question at great length over the summer. In the end, I think Tony and I both just sort of put our hands up and said, well, I guess we're glad that it just happened, and we won't try to over-intellectualize it any further. But I really think, looking back on it, it's because of marketing. And it's because you have an artist like Jeff Tweedy who's put out you know, four or five records in a row with a record company, and they haven't been able to bring sales up to a level where it's, you know, really significantly affecting their bottom line. They, I guess, stop thinking about it from a pure artistic level and just say, we don't make money on this guy. And then he delivers a record which, for whatever reasons, they evaluate as being difficult to raise to the next level of public appeal. So they say, well, okay, we're not going to, I guess, to use the phrase, throw good money after bad. We've spent $200,000 recording this record, but it's going to cost us another $300,000 or whatever to launch a marketing campaign for it. And we just don't think we're going to make our money back. So they drop the artist. And this, of course, creates a situation for us where we have a finished record and we want to put it out.
The Yankee Hotel Foxtrot has actually turned into a kind of metaphor. It's now a measure of what record companies, or not even so much record companies, but the corporations that own record companies, are willing to put up with.
Ultimately, what it came down to was they had told Jeff Tweedy, we don't like your album, we don't want to release it.
In the end, you know, it doesn't really matter who puts the record out. Eventually, either in the near future or in the way far distant future, someone's going to get it. As long as music is available, someone will hear it.
The record label must have found it to be something of a public relations problem because of all of the press really latched on to the situation as something of a, using Jeff something as a poster boy as to what problems were going on in a lot of record companies, and in particular Warner Brothers, with their artist rosters, and they didn't want it to blow up any further than it did. So they, after a certain amount of anxiety-ridden conversations, said, we think the right thing to do is let you take your record somewhere else, wherever you like.
Every time we put out a record, the length of time that a record company is willing to actually even humor you about, like, working on your record has gotten shorter.
Music is not limited to what happens in a business quarter. And, you know, this is a record, okay? This is something that probably someone will buy. They'll pay 15, 16, whatever bucks for it. And that's cool, but, you know, what's encoded somewhere on the bottom of this thing, this dopey little disc, you know, that's what matters. This, the artifact, the actual object, is not. What's encoded in here, if it's any good, you know, you'll hear it. And you'll either get it or you won't. And just as a writer, as a fan, as a guy who just listens to music a lot, you know, if you don't get it, you know, I just think that's kind of too bad.
There's a magazine called Sunset and a tape machine that won't let me ever forget this impossible longing for you.
Yankee Hotel Foxtrot has been finished now for about 6 months. The band have done a little bit of touring.
Word got out that the band were out of their deal and started getting a lot of calls. And basically started talking to people. I think we were dealing with about 25 or 30 labels initially, and then as time passed, we have been whittling the list down, and we're now talking to 5 or so, and hope to have that resolved in the next week or two.
I don't have any money.
Oh, I only have $6.
You want something to eat, Sammy?
Yeah.
What do you want?
Soda.
Soda, I think. Honey, I don't have enough money.
I'll go get some money.
Never in my wildest, most optimistic moment did I think that we'd be sitting here in the position we're in right now, which is with a finished record that is ours to take wherever we want. You could certainly say that they fucked up by letting the band go and walk away with the record. It's really an opportunity that maybe comes along once in a career.
The claw machine ripped them off. No, it went by itself.
Honey, smoke him, but
I need to know if he needs a
diaper. I think he does.
I was surprised at the number of record companies that were willing to pay a large amount of money to be sort of in the Wilco picture.
What is it?
Yes.
It's one of my songs. I'm trying to break your heart.
No.
I need a camera.
No.
Dreamer of my dreams.
No.
No. Casino Queen. California Stars.
No.
Tell me.
A drummer.
Heavy metal drummer.
Yes.
Heavy metal drummer. How's that going? I sincerely miss this heavy metal band. These two can see on the landing in the summer.
She fell in love with the drummer. She fell in love with the drummer. She fell in love. The shiny, shiny pants and bleached blonde hair. A double kick drum by the river in the summer. She fell in love with the drummer. Another than another. She fell in love.
Started to leak a little bit from labels and so on, and copies were starting to float around, and initially we tried to slow it down. We knew we couldn't stop it, and then at some point I think we just decided, you know what, it's out there, let's embrace it and make it available through our website if people want to hear it.
For the most part, a lot of people were really aware of the new songs, and to the point where I think a lot of people in the front rows at least knew all the words.
Thank you.
after months of discussions and ruminations, we have decided to sign, the band's going to sign to Nonesuch Records. We've agreed to all the major terms, so the record will come out on Nonesuch in April. I do find it ironic and a little humorous that Time Warner is the parent company of both of these labels, Reprise and Nonesuch.
You Jeff?
Yes.
Nice to meet you.
One way to put the reason for picking Nonesuch is that they are the best combination of sort of a business deal and a creative home.
In hearing the record, in the first 30 seconds, I felt that there was something going on with this record that I hadn't heard in a Wilco record before, and that, it sounded brave to me. It may have been the same 30 seconds that convinced Reprise that they didn't want to put out the record.
Okay, you ready to start signing things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, looks good.
Hold on. One more? Nope. This is to get paid.
Definitely sign that one.
Okay.
And I sign here.
You sign there. And you're back in the fire.
Thanks.
Good deal.
Be not so nervous, be not so pale. Someone watches you, you will not fail. Be not so nervous, be not so pale. Be not so nervous, be not so pale. Be not so sorry for what you've done. You must forget them now, it's done. And when you wake up, you will find that you can run.
We're about 2 months away from the record coming. The advances are here. Jeff is in town doing press. He goes to Europe next week to do press. It all begins now.
Be not so fearful. Be not so frail. Someone watches you, you will not leave the rails.
What are we, almost 8 months or 9 months since the record was originally planned to come out on another label? So it's been a long road, but it's sort of the beginning.
Be not so fearful, be not so fearful. Be not so sorry for what you've done. You must forget them now, it's done.
We couldn't be more excited about the long-term prospects of being able to work with this band.
When you wake up, you will find that you can run. Be not so sorry for what you've done.
It's a long road to here, but, it's a new chapter now, and we're couldn't be more optimistic.
Yeah.
that's the coup. That's like the coup of all time for us. To basically get the, you know, one of the biggest entertainment corporations in the world to release us from a contract, essentially scot-free with a record that they had already paid for, and then sell it back to them for three times the money. They disliked the record so much that they paid for it twice.
Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three.
Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation. If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do it, want to change the world, there's nothing to it. I know to compare with pure imagination. Living there, you'll be free if you truly wish to be. Living there, you'll be free if you truly.